Welcome everybody to another episode of Mental Matters, where we talk all things mental health related, everything we're going through, everything we need to learn. It is me, Kimberly, from Psyche, and I'm the chairwoman, and I'm joined by the beautiful, awesome, fantastic, fantabulous Kopano from
So
Touch
extra.
FM.
So
Always, always,
extra.
it's you.
Welcome back, guys, to Mental Matters. I'm Kobana from Touch FM 107.2. Always so excited to be with you for Wednesdays. Wednesdays are my favorite days. And I've personally learned so much from the past few weeks. I think we're on our like fifth or sixth week, and we still have more and more to learn because mental health is such a broad topic, and today is pretty exciting. So I'll let Luyanda introduce our guest today.
Today, we have one of us, another one of us, a postgrad student, another tech student, who's going to talk to us about his experiences with lockdown, with mental health, with his studies, and what he's going through. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Matthias. Please tell us a little bit about yourself, Matthias, and welcome to Mental Matters.
Thank you. My name is Matthias. I'm currently doing a PhD at the Faculty of Theology, and I'm doing it on a concept in Hinduism called Nishkam Karma, which actually deals with desire.
Okay, wow, PhD. Whoa, okay, that's very cool. Someone's really smart in the building today. We're gonna start at the beginning where we always start with each of our guests. How are you? How are you doing? How has this week been for you? And how has lockdown been and just the entire transition into being a online student?
So I'm okay. I'm relatively okay. I think for me, lockdown, it's been challenging. If I think back now to the first like lockdown, the level five serious one, that was like probably the most I've slept in my entire life. Like I don't think I've done anything productive during however long that was. It took me quite a long time to actually adapt to the whole new situation that was going on. But I try to keep fit. I try to jog and cycle and do all sorts of activities that just keeps me fit. But yeah, I think it's not that much of a surprise for me. I mean, I've been on campus since 2015. So online learning, we had that back then as well. So I'm kind of used to it, or I've been accustomed to it. Not as much or more so than other students who this might have come as a major shock to.
Yeah, makes total sense. You say that the transition was very difficult for you, and you slept quite a lot in the beginning. What made it like super difficult for you? Was it just the thought that like we're in a pandemic and that like sort of messed up with your groove? Or because I mean, with PhD students, I understand that you are talking to your supervisor. There's not necessarily a lot of class time, if I would imagine. I don't know. But what made it so difficult for you to adjust?
Yeah, so I think, when we first heard of COVID, it was in China and it was then in Europe. So it all seemed very far away. And the idea of it actually coming here was something that was not in my mind. Like I knew that it was there, I was hearing about it and things, but the reality of it actually coming here was something that was not familiar to me. So for me, I thought, it's there, but by the time it reaches here, there'll probably be a vaccine out, or it would have just gone away. And then yeah, suddenly, all of a sudden, in like a matter of a few days, things just escalated, and then rumor of a lockdown started to spread, and then the lockdown actually happened. Around that time, I actually got my research proposal just submitted. So You are correct. We don't have classes, but we meet with our supervisor ever so often. And if you really want to succeed in a postgrad level, then you need to have a very close relationship with your supervisor, constantly meeting and discussing and whatnot. So I actually had a lot of struggle with my research proposal at the beginning. And I was very lucky that I actually completed it before the lockdown happened. Otherwise, I would still be working on it now. So why I actually slept a lot, because it was something that I didn't plan for. It was just like, it just like slapped me in the face and I didn't know what to do. And the most comforting thing for me to do was to just sleep and pretend like everything was normal. But I think it was the FaceTime that I would have with my supervisor, meeting, reading sources together, looking at how I can work around certain themes or concepts, was difficult for me. And then also, obviously, the library. The library at UP is something postgrad students, I hope it's not just me, but I'd like to think all postgrad students really rely on. So the access to resources and material became very, very difficult, because I'm not sure about other students, but for me, if I'm reading an online source, it's a bit more difficult for me to engage it seriously as opposed to an actual book. So I needed to accustom myself to this whole system of getting used to reading things online and adapting to not necessarily having books and paging through stuff looking for information.
And then can you tell us, like, with your home life, like you mentioned, you obviously rely a lot more on the supervisor relationship. But at home, I would imagine things didn't change that much.
Well, you see, for postgraduate students, well, I'm also going to be a bit speculative now, because for me, I work mainly with research, and I mainly do more, what is the term now? I can't even remember. I work mainly with, what is it? Okay, well, I don't really rely on questionnaires and those sorts of data for my research. Yeah. So I know that I did briefly do an honors in archaeology a while back. And for different fields, you'd actually have a lot of practical sides to postgrad. So for those students, it might actually be a lot more difficult. But for students who do research, I think just a space where you can work and actually focus is all that you really require. But, I mean, you guys are the psychologists, so you will be more informed on this. But often the environment affects the way in which you see things. So for me, one of the things was to acclimatize my home environment to actually become a work environment, because I was so used to working in the library that I would just go to the library and then I would just sit down and be in that sort of mentality to just do work. But then I come home, and then it's just, okay, it's home time. Now I just got to sleep. So I needed to change the way in which I saw this whole home environment to actually understand that now I actually have to do work here. So the way in which I saw my environment, even in how I designed my environment, needed to change so that it was more work friendly. But also being at home, I think there's a lot of responsibilities, especially with this whole pandemic, and not everybody can leave the house and you need food and you need all these sorts of stuff. So being someone that is not as prone to the virus as maybe other family members, you find yourself taking on certain responsibilities that might cut down on your work time. So you also have to find a balance in how you use this space for everything. So it would always be easy that when you come home, then you know this is the house, I have home responsibilities. And when you go to campus, it's this is campus, I can leave home responsibilities and just focus on studying. But now sort of you have to fuse the two together. And it can be challenging at first, but I think if you get a routine going and then you slowly get used to it, it allows you to find a comfortable balance between the two.
Right. Do you think, being at home more and sort of just acclimatizing to yourself to everything that's been happening. Do you think you've been paying more attention to your mental health? And have you seen like stark differences in how you were when you had these two different environments where it was like, okay, this is home, this is school. And now home is school, school is home. And everything is one big thing. So did you, you know, have to sort of pay more attention to your mental health and taking care of it?
Yeah, I think it's actually very important, especially during this time, to pay attention to your mental health and to what's going on in your mind due to this influx of things that is just happening and continuing to happen. But honestly, I don't think that I did. I mean, everything just happened so fast and there was just so much work, and then there was just everything that's going on in the news. And then we know on top of the pandemic, there was all sorts of gender-based violence and all these things that was just flooding. So watching the media, trying to keep updated on what's going on with the world, and then trying to manage your schoolwork, so to say, and then also trying to manage things at home. It's sort of, it fills up your time and it doesn't really give you enough time away from everything to sit down or to find a safe space where you can actually now think, how am I doing? How do I feel? How am I going to handle this? Or how have I been handling this? Or how do I need to personally grow? So I think in terms of mental health and monitoring my own mental health and growth, it required me to actually sit down and specifically dedicate time to that. So to actually say, okay, there's a lot going on around, but now I actually need to ensure that I pay attention to this because it's important. And without that working, nothing else is going to function properly.
So how did you manage that? So can you give us an example of maybe something that you didn't do before, but maybe you've started utilizing now?
I can't say that there's something that I didn't do before, because my getaway has always been sports. So I have always been an avid jogger, but recently, okay, yes, maybe something I did new was, instead of jogging, I started cycling more during this lockdown. But what I usually do is, I'm not like most athletes who will just run for half an hour and come back home. So let's say like two or three times a week, I'll run to a specific place, maybe near a park or up a hill. It's usually early in the morning, so I know not a lot of people will be out. And then I just sit, I watch the sunrise, I take in the environment, I try to calm down. I think about the day that's going to happen, the things that I need to do, and I come up with a plan as to how I'm going to do it. So this running away, finding a soft spot, trying to just calm down and relax, which is away from everything else, and then just getting in touch with myself again, and then coming back and having a clear plan as to how I'm going to address everything, it's helpful. I think just getting away from everyone and everything and just spending time with yourself, having a conversation with yourself, obviously not out loud, because sometimes I do it and I get really awkward looks from other people, but just to have these intimate discussions with yourself is really important, because I believe that the best relationship and the most intimate relationship that we could ever have is only with ourselves. Every other relationship and every other engagement is always with someone else that is external to our own self. So it's always important to have a very good relationship with our inner being, so to say.
Speaking about that, actually, sure. As a undergrad that is possibly going into postgrad, right? There's a lot of sort of like anxiety around applications, trying to get it done, trying to get the marks to get into postgrad. What can you say to postgrads undergrads like myself that are panicking, that are sort of at the moment like doubting everything that they're doing? They're doubting like, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Like, you write a test and you literally just burst out into tears after that, because it's like, whoa, am I even going to get in? So how did you, I guess, you know, back then deal with all of these emotions. Like you say, you know, it's all about like the inner self, but also now, even now, I mean, I can imagine that, because doing a PhD is in essence creating knowledge. It's in essence, you know, saying that, well, I found this new thing, and it's about like having the confidence to say, I believe this is what it is. So sort of how do you deal with like all those insecurities and not let them like tamper with your mental being?
In my final year of undergraduate studies, I at that point, it was my final year of theology. It was also my final year of completing ancient languages. And it was also just after the year that I completed my final year in the archaeology. So all of these ancient languages and archaeology are not actual degrees, but you can qualify for postgrad in them. But my main goal was obviously to always stick with religion and to one day contribute largely to the religious environment. And all other disciplines that I later took on was to add more information to that. So I recently also took up psychology, which is actually very interesting. And I feel like that was something I should have done in my first year, because it could have made me more aware of a lot of religious phenomena. But it is something I hope to continue. But in that final year of undergrad theology, for me, since my first year, just graduating was never the objective. For me, it was always to go into postgraduate studies. And in my fourth year, there was actually a lot on my plate, and it was very difficult to focus. And I actually speak to some of my friends that I have that are undergraduates, some in their final year, and I say to them, you know, it was difficult for me, but I can't even imagine what you would be going through, because your circumstances are far, far greater than what I have ever encountered in my final year. But it was difficult for me nonetheless. And there was a lot at stake. I was also very, very concerned that if I didn't get into postgrad, then these past 4 years and everything that I worked towards would have just gone to waste. And because my goal was always there, I only felt like I was halfway in my final year. So how I actually did it was to not focus on postgrad and not focus on what was going to be happening next year, but to only focus on what I was doing right then in that moment. So I remember it very clearly, because it's something that I keep doing up until this day. So I have a humongous calendar with dates, all the important dates. As soon as the new semester comes out and the study guides come out, I then put it on that calendar so I can constantly see it. But apart from that calendar, I also have a journal, so to say, and I have to-do lists. So I break down every test, every assignment, every small assessment that would be happening for each module during the semester, and I create a plan on how to slowly contribute to learning more about that topic over time. So instead of 2 weeks before a test studying for that test, 2 weeks before the test, I would have already completed the content for that test simply by breaking it up every day from the moment I know what that test is going to be about. And sometimes you can even go all mathematical about it, and you can say, okay, so there's 50 pages that I need to study for this test. So 50 days before the test, I need to just do one page, one page, one page. And then if you see that you have 100 days before the test, then you make the first 50 days where you cover each page, and then you have your consolidated summary, and the next 50 days you just revise. So it's just dividing each of your modules, and then within those modules, dividing your tasks into a workable manner that you can relate to, that you can understand. I never actually showed these plans to anyone else, because I felt like it wasn't for them, and it was something that I was comfortable with. And as long as I was comfortable with and I felt that I could work with this, then it would actually be successful.
Well, now we know what it takes to be PhD level. I just want to know, Matthias, sorry, I've been calling you Matthias, and you've so gracefully just let me continue on this path. But Matthias, were you ever at any point in undergrad, for instance, like the kind of students who maybe did kind of procrastinate in that sense, like wait a little bit longer than you should to study a few things? And what actually helped change your mindset to become the kind of person who can contribute on a more daily basis?
Yeah, so I remember there was an assignment, I think it was in my second year, that I had to do. And when I read the topic, I saw that it was an easy topic, and I brushed it off, and I thought, you know, this is something I can do like a week before or something. So I left it, and I completely forgot about it, actually. And it so happened that 2 days before the assignment was due, I remembered it after a group chat where people were like, have you guys done the assignment? And I was like, wait, what assignment? And then I quickly had to familiarize myself with it. And this was 2 days before, and I saw that it wasn't that bad. So I was like, oh, this is why I probably forgot about it. And I left it. And then the day before the assignment, I started to work on it. And I realized that it was actually not an easy topic, and that it might have seemed easy, but there was a lot that actually had to be into that assignment. So I began working and I began working. And I think it was by 8 o'clock that I wasn't even halfway. And I thought to myself, this is just impossible. I'm never going to do it. But I couldn't go to sleep with that thought that this assignment was not done. So I stayed up the entire night working and working and working and working. And I think it was around 6 or 7 the next morning that I completed it. And then I had to rush to campus because it was due at 8:30 and submit it. And that was one of the worst experiences of my entire university career. And I told myself then that never again would I allow such things to happen to me, because it was truly traumatic to work under so much pressure, especially because I didn't plan for it and I had other tests and assignments due around that date as well. But it does happen. It does happen that you make a plan and that you say, 50 days, I need to have this done, and then 50 days pass and it's not done. And oftentimes we find ourselves being really hard on ourselves, and we tend to like passively punish ourselves and say, you know, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, and I need to focus. But it's really about being gentle with yourself. There's a numerous amount of reasons as to why we procrastinate, and to simply just identify and say we're procrastinating and now I need to actually go and work is sort of like brushing all these issues under the carpet. So we procrastinate because of different reasons. And I think we need to spend time with ourselves, understand why am I procrastinating? What are the reasons that I find myself getting distracted? Let me sort those out and then come back and focus. Because it also comes back to a time and place for everything. So you have to sort of, I don't want to use the word like force your mind, but gently nudge your mind into understanding that there's a time to do certain things like playing games, and then there's times to work. So it's just about being gentle with yourself, trying to understand why am I procrastinating, why do I feel lazy today, and then working around all these issues that are just jumbled up in your mind before trying to actually get work done. So I would suggest that if you find yourself procrastinating or you find yourself struggling to do work, maybe take like dedicate half an hour to just sitting, relaxing, thinking about whatever is preventing you from doing work. And then once that's done, maybe grab a snack and then start working. You allow yourself to ease into working, because especially in this pandemic, it's going to be really difficult to force yourself to do work. And that's not something you want to do, because everybody wants to study and we're at university for a purpose. So to feel like you're in this school system where you have teachers over your shoulder saying, you know, you need to study this, you need to read this, is really not going to work in such an environment now. So it's more you need to want to do it, and you have to try and train your mind to want to do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So much. I'm just like, Kubana, get your life. Like, get your life.
I'm sorry. People doing their PhD in religious studies tend to talk a lot. So if I do, you could just like let me know.
It's completely fine.
Anything like, we need to hear.
Like, this is the wisdom. I'm like, yes, teach us.
Yeah.
No, personally, and that reminds me actually of a video that I watched the other day where basically she was saying, she's like a self-help person on YouTube. She was saying that one of the reasons that we procrastinate is because we are in resistance, whether it's a resistance towards ourselves. So like, oh, I want to do this project, but I'm scared that it's going to be difficult. So I'd just rather just put it off. And like, I work better under pressure anyway, you know? And sort of like these excuses that we create for ourselves in our minds, which is, yeah. But anyway, yeah, some pearls of wisdom. I definitely needed to hear that.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I think my only like final question, Matthias, is, now with level two though, like level two has been a whole other mindset for me because I was ready to lock down for the rest of the year. Looking into level two now, the rest of the year, and lockdown restrictions possibly being eased at a gradual pace, can you tell us maybe what is your worst thing about level two in terms of like going into it? What do you super difficult?
Okay, yeah, so the thing you're looking forward to the most and the thing you're dreading the most?
Oh, I think at this point the thing I'm looking forward to the most is a very difficult question because I think this whole year has trained me not to look forward to anything. But yeah, I think level two
trust
is very
issues
very
now.
Yeah, level two is very confusing for me because I really want to meet my supervisor. I haven't seen him this entire year, but he also has a bit of health issues. So meeting with someone is a bit of a risk. So that's also something that is then hazardous. So it's like you have the ability to go out, but you are warned not to do it. So it's like you could do this, but these are the consequences. So it's sort of a gamble that you're doing if you do actually go out. So I've actually been treating this lockdown as level two as a level five, and much of my behavior has stayed consistent with what it was during the initial lockdown, not just for safety procedures, but also because of how confusing level two is. I mean, at one point, certain things are allowed, and then another week, they're not allowed, and then after that, it is allowed. So there's just this whole mix of confusion of what's happening and what isn't happening. And I don't want to allow myself to get caught up into that and then find myself being confused just as much as the people who are supposed to be guiding us. But I think I'm just looking forward to hopefully a vaccine coming out and us going back to the normal of what was before this entire virus. In a worst case scenario, I'm not entirely sure if anything could get worse than where we are at this moment, not only with COVID, but also as a country. So my best situation would be for radical change in all levels. Obviously, I mean, not just COVID. But I think that also goes back to what I was saying about slowly breaking things up and then working with smaller things, working towards a bigger goal. So in an ideal situation for me, I would hope that this year would just continue and play out as it has already, because I believe also how UP has handled things is now sort of comfortable with the whole online thing. And I would just like that to continue and to phase out with the end of this year so that next year we can come back to a whole new clean slate, so to say, rather than mixing things up now in the middle of the semester when a lot of people, not just me, have committed to this whole online system. The worst case scenario, I think, is if we lost the internet and then everything just fell to pieces. I would probably, I don't know what I would do. I honestly don't know. I'd probably just run and then sit under the sunset for all eternity until everything resumed back to normal. Yeah.
Right. And I think that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for shedding a lot of light. I think as someone who is in my final few months of undergrad, I have learned so much from what you said earlier on, especially about taking everything at little bits and pieces, really just working slowly every day instead of trying to do this massive chunks of work, and sort of just like wanting to be a student. I think sometimes we forget that we want, like, actually like what I'm studying, like, and I want to go into my first grad. Like, I love, you know, the fact that I'm able to create knowledge or know more, and so that I can help my community to be more. But yeah, that sort of kind of gets lost with all the assignments and all the tests, and you just forget that, like, I actually like what I'm studying. So yeah, I think from my side, I don't have any more questions. Kim?
I have no more questions. So much, Matthias. Like, yeah, 100%.
It's been a good time. 100%. With that being said, that brings today's episode of Mental Matters to an end. Please remember to like, comment. If you're in your undergrad, going into postgrad, you know, shoot us a comment. If you're in postgrad and, you know, you're related to some of the, you know, things that we spoke about, also shoot us a comment. And yeah, also shoot us questions. You know where to find us. It is psyche.psychesociety.up. Yes, Kim? And TuxFM 107.2. So yeah, that's it from us today. Bye.
Bye.